almost like a perfect storm.
The pandemic has led to a sharp increase in categories such as home training and outdoor activities.
So we've gone from being quite poor to being very good.
I think you know, but you want me to say XXL are like the IKEA of sports retailing.
This is the fun part of retailing.
Oh, you sell guns. He is a former semi-professional football player. He converted to become the king of Norwegian retail. He has worked for McKinsey. He has worked for ICA. He has built up travel retail in Norway, duty-free stores. He made money with Nille. He made money with Europris. He is on the board of Kolonial, which is renaming to Oda. Gone all famous with SoftBank and Prosus as leading shareholders in a recent round. He sells sporting goods. He sells bikes. He sells guns and skis, and he's the CEO of XXL. Welcome to the studio, Paul Weber.
Thank you.
So I have to ask you, Paul, can you elaborate a little bit about the change you made last year? Because you went from a bigger company to a smaller company, but possibly with greater interest?
Yeah, I always loved the Europris too, but at XXL, of course, yes, it's a retailer's dream. You can do what you love. Is it retail? I've done that for most of my adult life. But then you can also sell stuff that you love to use. And as I tell my wife, it's really dangerous to work at XXL because you can buy everything there.
So. Have you bought a lot of skis last year?
I bought skis for all the family, bikes now for the family, and a lot of clothing. So every day I come home with something new. Now, of course, on e-com.
So we have to start. It was Tuesday, the 7th of January, 2020, pre-market open. You were announced to become the new CEO of XXL, and the stock price of XXL went up 10.5%. That's nice. Europris stock went down 4.4%, which is, I guess, a compliment to you. But yeah, I don't know if you want to comment on what happened later.
No, I actually think that, first of all, I'm most proud of the fact that the stock price of Europe is, after that, actually has gone really well. And
that's a good testament.
That's a very good testament. I think as a CEO, if you make a team that can deliver also after you left, that is the best sort of statement. And I'm very proud as a board member that they're still doing very good.
And you still own 400,000 shares?
Yeah.
You got a big dividend today.
That's I got a big dividend.
You get some money to spend on XXL.
They're all used already.
We have to talk about the COVID situation because basically you were announced in January, but then there was a little bit of an overlap period or a gardening period, I guess. Did you go to the garden much between, because you started in April?
I started actually on April 1st. So I had to sort of tell everyone that it was no April Fool's joke. And that was just when we refinanced on the 31st of March. So it was, and COVID had hit the markets in the mid.
Yeah, but it's actually fair to mention that XXL had problems before COVID.
XXL had a lot of problems. The sporting market and XXL had a lot of problems before COVID.
Oh, I'm just reading now from the 7th of February statement, which was 1 month after you were announced, but before you started. Mm-hmm. And the XXL official first quarter statement then said, all markets have been challenging. We will immediately launch a massive clearance campaign in main markets for the benefit of all our customers. We are monitoring the group's compliance with applicable financial covenants agreed with by ASA. XXL was not in the perfect shape when you took over.
It was not. It was definitely not in the good shape. And also, of course, it was a very, very negative development, which is it's like a tanker going in the wrong direction.
And then you also had to fire a lot of people, or at least I guess you. This was actually the week before you started. I noticed you got the other people to do that. So on the 23rd of March, there was a press release saying, as a consequence of the significant decline in sales, the company has, in accordance with contingency plans, mm-hmm. give notice to 1,000 store employees in Norway and additional in Austria, Finland. Must have been pretty hard.
It was pretty tough. Luckily, those people got back pretty soon. But yes, it was tough. You had a sort of tough historic development. And then the COVID who came, almost like a perfect storm. Luckily for us, we had started that massive clearance and sort of started to get rid of the old inventory ahead of COVID. I think that was a good move. But it was a busy April last year.
All those guys came back at work. I think on the 26th of May, you sent a stock exchange announcement saying during the April month, the sales situation normalized and we're calling back all the remaining layoffs. So that's good. That's well done. But looking back, is COVID a net positive?
I think it is definitely a net positive for the sporting industry and for XXL. Not that we would like to have COVID, but...
But the effect, it's a positive effect.
Yeah. For most of... many in retail, it has been positive, net-net. In the last quarter, it has started to get a little bit more mixed, especially in Norway, with a significant number of stores closed. So then you get a little bit more of the negative effect of it too. But sort of all in all, I think there's a lot of people in the society that has been more hit than the sporting industry and the retail industry.
I'm going to read now from the announcement of the Q4 20 details, which is out on the 2nd of February 2021. So that's 13 months after you were announced. You said, Norway is our largest market. The fourth quarter was a real home win. The pandemic has led to a sharp increase in categories such as home training and outdoor activities. Mm. And we've seen these pictures of, Östernvann, where you have hundreds of people in outdoor hammocks and people sleeping outside. And I guess this whole staycation thing has been just a huge positive thing for you.
I think it's been a hugely positive thing for not just for XXL, but for the entire market. And hopefully... some people that has been spending a night in a hammock also enjoys it and thinks that this is something I will do also after the COVID situation. So I think that in general, I think people has been even more conscious about being in shape, getting out, being active, and that will hopefully also last after COVID.
We are going to talk a little bit about one of your favorite topics, which I wasn't aware, but it's something I looked, our analyst, Carl Fredrik Bjerke, he looked into the XXL turnaround, and obviously there's a lot to be said. You've increased margins, you've cut debt.
Yeah.
But I am wondering, Paul, if you could maybe, starting point, is working capital management the secret to success for all retail?
I think it might be an underestimated area, because a lot of people, when they think about retail, they think about top line margins and the bottom line. That is, of course, some of the key profit drivers. But very often, where you can both get the success but also hit the dangerous stuff is in the inventory. And so managing inventory is one of the most complex topics in retail. I worked with retail for 22 years. This is most one of the most fun, but also the one of the most complex areas.
Yeah, but there's a couple of... So one thing is the inventories. You need to have stuff in the stores. Mm. And another thing is the payment structures. Mm. So if I come and buy a bicycle at XXL, I pay up front. But when do you usually pay the guy who makes the bicycle?
It varies.
you don't want to tell me.
Is not a good example, maybe, because that we buy a lot from the factories directly in sort of the Far East.
Okay, so then you take some risk and you get some higher margin.
Exactly. But I think that, yes, it's as you say, it's payment terms is one thing. But I think one of the main in sport industry is actually the inventory management. You know that people don't really like to talk about the old inventory. Everyone wants to talk about this year's news.
Oh.
But you always have to follow also the old inventory and do something about it. So one of the things that the CFO, Stein, and myself is looking at every week is actually the old inventory. And we follow it every day and every week, looking at the development of, for example, the 18-month-old inventory by category and country. And we always, try to do actions in order to reduce it even further. So we have done quite a good job the last 12 months, but we still think we can do even better.
So the analyst, Carl Fredrik Bjerke, he has put out the slide showing that net working capital, as in percentage to sales, peaked at around 25% in 2019, and it's now down to 8% in Q1 21. So meaning, I guess, in 2019, if I bought a pair of skis, you had four pair of skis standing there next to it. So
I think we went, it's fair to say that we went from being maybe not the best in class to at least 8-9% is quite good. In some areas, it's almost too good in the fact that we think that the ideal inventory is a couple of hundred millions more than we have today. We have around 2.1, 2.2 billion in the inventory in the total system today. It could be a little bit more. But yeah, it's pretty good. And so we've gone from being quite poor to being very good.
So I guess if you have 10% working capital to sales, that means that you obviously, for every dollar or for every 100 crowns you sell, you get 90 back and you invest 10 in your inventory. Mm. Right. But then there are some examples of companies that actually have a negative inventory.
Yeah. That's what I tell my CFO every week. But I think we still can do better, especially on the, not necessarily just the payment terms, but...
But you mentioned Zalando?
Yeah. Zalando is one of those big companies that actually have a negative working capital. I mean, of course, in the grocery industry, you also have it, but then there you have very short lead times.
Okay.
So that Zalando has it is really, really impressive because they have longer lead times. So we think that there are still some areas where we can improve. And of course, that's a capital light model is of course very, very positive.
So who do you admire the most, Paul? Do you admire Paul Pogba or Paul Polman the most?
I think the latter. Paul Pogba is also with the wrong team in the UK. So
I knew that. Yeah. But so Paul Polman is the CEO of Unilever, one of the world's largest fast-moving retail consumer goods company. And he told the world in a 2018 call, "I always find that the level of working capital is the best sign of a well-run company." Mm-hmm. I guess you tend to agree?
I tend to agree with a lot of things. So he has also been very sort of vocal on environmental issues. But yeah, it's as I said before, I think this is the most difficult task in retail to manage inventory, optimize inventory. And this is also the area where you can hide away a lot of negative stuff. So, yeah, I think he's right. This is the fun part of retail, but it's everyday work.
So I guess Unilever has about 10% negative working capital, or i.e. so for every dollar they sell, they get 1.1 in. Mm. So that means growth is for free. That's a fantastic business model. Yeah.
Well, it's also a little bit special with the grocery sector in particular there. But as you said before, Zalando has also shown that you can be in sectors, sort of non-food sectors, and also achieve some of the same things.
And I found another company as well, Reckitt Benckiser. They have, I think, at least they had, 15% negative working capital. Do you know what one of their main products is? I think you know, but you want me to say it's, yeah. It's Durex condoms. let's move on. So yeah. E-commerce, we talked about Zalando, yeah. but XXL, you've done an impressive job on e-commerce, I have to say. You have the AutoStore inventory robot system?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many years you've had that?
We had it since 2010. I think the founders of XXL was very sort of foresighted in many ways. Two areas was, one was e-com. So the former CEO was sort of very early on saying that e-com is the future, and we were really, really putting a lot of efforts into e-com. That was very early on. And also in automation. So we were one of the first companies to invest in AutoStore, which is now a Norwegian success story. And I think that is paying off in times like this when you have to really scale up in maybe a very short time. We are able to do that because of the automation.
And when shops are closed, it's a total necessity to have a great online offering. Yeah. So I think in Norway, when shops were closed end of Q1, you had more than half of yours, or it was...
In March, it was more than 50% of stores being closed. And we had an e-com share in Norway in a couple of weeks in March that was above 50%.
Quite impressive. Because famous for your big box. XXL are like the IKEA of sports retailing. So you've changed the business model, you could say.
Yeah. Well, at least we complemented it. And I think it was very reassuring to have that e-com machine when things happened in January.
What do you think is the sort of long-term e-commerce percentage of total sales? Have you given a number of that?
We haven't given any number, but everyone, of course, understands that, yes, it has gotten a certain boost from COVID. But this is one of those areas where we think that a lot of people has also learned how easy it is or how fast it is to buy sporting goods online. So that will also prevail after the COVID boom. So we expect the e-com share to continue, also after maybe a small correction just after the COVID crisis.
Well, do you watch Skal Vi Danse?
Not every time. But
you haven't been asked to join the show?
No. If you see me dancing, you wouldn't invite me.
They get people to improve. No, but there is a sponsor called Lyko, Skjønnhetsprodukter på nett, beauty products online, and they IPO'd, I just looked at these numbers, they IPO'd in 2017 at around 50 per share. Its last trading at 320 per share.
Yeah.
Trading at an EV sales of 2.5 to 3 times. Now, the interesting thing is that, and so obviously the market cap of this company is it's about 5 billion NOK.
Yeah.
And their sales of e-commerce is actually smaller than XXL sale of e-commerce.
we are actually joking about this internally, that maybe we should just spin off XXL Ecom as a separate company. It would probably be more worth than XXL group today.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a joke.
No, I know. If you can, you can take Lyko, you can take Boozt, you can take a lot of sort of pure players. We try to tell the investors that we are the both ways. We are the biggest online pure player in the Nordics, and we are the biggest brick and mortar player in the Nordics in the sporting industry. So you sort of get the both in one.
Segwaying over to ESG, which you touched upon with the Unilever CEO, but yeah. I noticed you have given out this sustainability report. Mm-hmm. Which I guess many companies have to do. Mm. But there's a couple of interesting things there, because I mean, conceptually, we joked about you bought a lot of skis. Do you need all those skis? You bought a lot of bicycles. Do you need all those bicycles? So from the sort of essential sustainability theme about product quality and duration, there are a few sort of topics to discuss here, Paul. I don't know if from a starting point, how do you see XXL in this sustainability discussion?
I think first of all, I think you have to admit everyone in retail that we are part of the problem and part of the solution. Yeah. So we have to face that fact and start working on getting a more sort of circular and sustainable value chain. So you know we have a lot to do. Even though we have done a lot, we have even more to do. That being said, I actually think in retail, if you look at the sporting industry, I would say that there's very few retail sectors that can say that everything we sell is basically mostly good for you as a consumer. So the worst thing that happens is that you don't use those skis as often as you thought you would do when you bought them. But you will never get hurt by using our products, at least.
You sell guns.
You sell guns. We don't shoot, mostly for shooting animals and not...
it's the side question, but did you ever consider stopping selling guns because some shareholders reacted negatively? If you Google XXL and guns, there are a couple of these... Yeah. MSCI ESG report and the former Arctic colleague Tolik that wrote a reply saying of course that our guns are not used, it's only used for hunting did you ever consider stopping selling guns?
We haven't considered it. Of course we take it seriously and we try to comply with all regulations and make sure that we sell it in an orderly way, but I think that part of hunting and outdoor is a core part of our concept, and a lot of our customers are enjoying that, hunting and outdoor life, and it's a part of that. So as long as you do it in a safe and orderly way, I think it's okay.
And do you see these shops becoming like repair shops in the future? So you know, there's something wrong with my skis or something wrong with my bicycle, something that you're putting more emphasis on?
Yes, definitely. And this is also actually one of those things that the original founders also had a lot of emphasis on, which is that the maintenance, the workshops that we have in each store. We have a huge workshop where you can sort of repair. You can also do maintenance on your skis or your bike or, you know, equipment. So I think that this is one of those areas where that will make the products last longer. And that is good for everyone. You're also looking at opportunities to, as you said, with new models that maybe you don't want to buy that kayak today this summer. It looks like a lot of them, of consumers will, but some might not. They might want to rent a buy a kayak or something, and that is also something we are working on.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
second hand.
No, it could be that we are just having some of our stock available for renting, so that some people can try it out before they buy a stand-up paddle or a kayak or something of a little bit more value.
So we are rounding off, obviously, with a bit of you about your personal journey. Now, the most important part first, of course. Yeah. How many games did you play for HamKam?
I played a lot of games for HamKam, but only one on the sort of first team. I was raised in HamKam.
Which division was it?
It was actually in the highest division. I was playing against Vålerenga, game.
How did the game go?
We actually lost 4-1, and I was running after Egil Toro Johansen, and he was a pretty good guy, and I was a young and not so good guy. So it was a tough game, and it was only one.
But I found, did you actually play with Jan-Åge Fjørtoft?
Yes, his first season in HamKam. Yeah, he came to HamKam and he was playing. He was the same age as me, a little bit more talented than I was.
Well,
but,
you had other talents, Paul. Don't be too hard on yourself. You've done pretty well. And I think we should also just round off a little bit, I guess, if you're big picture. You're on the board of Colonial Oda, as mentioned. You're still on the board of Europris. And I guess a little bit, how do you see some of these Norwegian retail companies doing? I mean, do you think Europris is going abroad? Do you think Colonial Oda will succeed abroad? What's the sort of best part and worst part about XXL's international expansion so far?
I think, first of all, I was at the board at Oda until recently, and then was Prosus and the SoftBank coming in.
They kicked you out. Unbelievable.
They only put in 1 billion, so they wanted a board place instead of me, which is surprising. But I think that Oda is a very good example of a little bit like XXL some years ago, that a Norwegian concept, quite unique in its way, and that actually goes also abroad, that the biggest potential is actually outside of Norway. And that is a huge challenge. I mean, it's not easy to succeed in Norway, but it's definitely not easy to go out of Norway. I think that Oda has the team and the competence and the technology to succeed.
And now they have the money.
And now they also have the money to expand. So I think that's one of those examples. I also think that XXL is sort of a little bit of a fairy tale until the last sort of downturn. In the way that it's one of those few Norwegian concepts that has gone abroad and are actually aspiring to be one of the leading players in Europe.
Yeah, it's a little bit like IKEA for sporting goods.
Yeah. So I think that's sort of, we want to get back to a situation where we continue to grow and where, you know, people are cheering on us.
So you think you will open more countries?
That we haven't said anything about. First focus now is to there are some white spots in Sweden in particular. And also in Austria, obviously. We want to have our Austrian operation sort of improving. We need to do a better job in supporting our Austrian colleagues in the concept and marketing and everything. And then at some point, we will evaluate and look at whether to grow outside of Austria.
Germany is quite close and some synergies on languages.
It's quite close and they speak the same language, yeah.
And do you think your margins will converge towards the same level? Because historically, you've had a higher margin in Norway and... you've done well in Sweden and Finland, but it's always been higher in Norway. Do you think you will catch up going up in Sweden and Finland and Austria, or do you think Norway will come down?
I think it will be... We have sort of said on the margins that overall for the group, we believe that the margin should come up from the last couple of years, but back to historic levels, above 39-40%, and that we should see some operational synergies, and that's sort of for the group as a total. We are working on specifically, on especially in Sweden, how to improve our Swedish operations ahead of also growing more there, since there are white spots. We want to make those white spots even more profitable. Finland is already at a quite good level and good development.
It's close to Norway now.
It's getting closer to Norway. Had the best year ever last year in EBITDA-wise. So there's still some room to improve, but Sweden is the main focus at the moment.
Do you think that the Colonial Oda guys, they looked to XXL when they decided that the first country they were going to open in after Norway was Finland?
I think it was other things, but Finland is a good market. It's sort of a little bit like Norway. It's sort of an isolated market. People are kind of, it's an interesting, with a high potential market.
What do you look most forward to do when you are, when we are all well and through done with this pandemic? What do you think is the thing you miss the most?
I have missed, of course, the veteran football. So I'm going to look very much forward to playing football again.
That's fantastic. And I agree. And it was a pleasure to play football. It was a little bit painful to play football against you last year because you were annoyingly good.
I have to train again.
Mr. Paul Wiebe, thank you so much for joining us in the Arctic Podcast. We're back next week with another exciting guest. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
This podcast has been prepared by Arctic for information purposes only. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered professional advice. The information provided in this podcast is not intended to constitute investment advice, nor is the information intended as an offer or solicitation for the purchase or sale of any financial instrument. Relevant and specific professional advice should always be obtained before making any investment or credit decision. It is important to note that past performance is not indicative of future results. This podcast does not fulfill the criteria for preparing investment research and must be seen as marketing material. All information submitted during this podcast is obtained from public sources that Arctic believes to be reliable, but which Arctic has not independently verified. Arctic makes no guarantee, representation, or warranty as to its accuracy or completeness. No liability whatsoever is accepted for any direct or indirect, including consequential, loss or expense arising from the use of information from this podcast.